Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD as well. And our Titans training camp report from Teron, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the All Things Basement and Lee Company, the Trenches Shop in North Nashville, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's newest barbershop on wheels. You have control of time and place. Book your appointment at thecuttruckmobile.org. Teron, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on, fellas? Good to be on.
Good to have you on with us, TD. As we sift through kind of the first couple of days of training camp here for the Tennessee Titans, what are a few things that have stood out to you on the field so far for the Titans, albeit just a couple of days into a very long process in training camp?
Well, yeah, like you said, we're only a couple of days into it, so you can't invest too much emotion. But I tell you one thing, A.J. Brown looks a lot quicker and smoother and explosive in and out of his breaks and those type of things. We knew that improving his routes and just expanding his game overall was something he wanted to do, and we're seeing that. You know, these past couple of days, he's been really dominant. You know, whenever the ball goes his way, it's a catch, and other times it's a touchdown. So that's a really good thing, especially, you know, for Titans fans and for the offense, which wants to carry over what they did last year. And then even you flip it over to the other side of the ball, I tell you, man, Breon Borders, the reserve cornerback, has really stood out, and he's competing on every rep, and that's something that Mike Vrabel definitely said that he's recognized, and he said that that's a reason why he's stuck around for this long. You know, the guy's been up and down on the 53-man, off the 53-man, released, and practice squad, and these type of things throughout his career, but it seems like he's going to stick now, and he's definitely showing off. So those are two things that I've recognized. Tier Tart has looked pretty good as well. Now, obviously, they're not in pads, so you can only gather so much from it, but it's the footwork. And I asked him about that yesterday, and he told me that it's because he's played basketball since he was 7 years old. And anytime you have a big guy that has the feet like that, typically that's what the case is, right? They play basketball. So it's definitely showing. You're seeing him get into the backfield and just disrupt plays and make Coach blow the whistle early. And, you know, Coach Keith Carter has had to, you know, curse a couple guys out because of Tier Tart. So that's a positive thing from the defensive side.
All right. I threw out T.O. earlier, T.D. So tell me, T.D., tell me if I'm crazy saying T.O. when I watch A.J. Brown right now.
You know, here's the thing. They are very similar in that they're so strong once they get the football in their hands. If you remember T.O., he used to always catch that slant, and he would break a tackle, and he had the speed to pull away from the defense. And that's something that you see A.J. Brown consistently do. I think Brown is a bit more of a confident and consistent pass catcher. You know, if there was one knock on T.O., it was the drops would come in every once in a while. And Brown has had his drops, but I think he is definitely a more consistent pass catcher. But the comparison is there just as far as, like, the strength. You know, these guys are very strong, and they run through tackles, and DBs have to really bring it when they're trying to bring these guys down. So I could see that comparison there.
Teron Davenport on with us, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, obviously a tough day yesterday for the kickers with Tucker McCann and Blake Hallbill as well, 3 of 5, both of them. And we've talked so much on the show and with you about this battle at kicker. I guess my question to you now is if this continues and there's inconsistency along the way, How long do you wait if you're John Robinson and the Titans before you address this by bringing in a veteran? How long of a leash would you give these two guys, these two young guys, battling it out right now for the kicking position?
Yeah, well, you know, they were 4-for-4 the first day. So I think you waited out this week at least just to see these remaining. You got today and tomorrow. I would definitely see those. And if those are bad, then it's, hey, Goskowski, listen, you're local. You're right here in Franklin. So just be ready. We think we're going to bring you in, but we're going to give you a little bit more time just keep that foot ready. I think that's the way it should be because, you know, when you're and the misses, right, they're not long misses. You know what I mean? So yeah. you can't have it to where, like, when you're a team like this Titans team that's right there, right, I mean, they're among the top three or four teams in the conference, right? You can ill afford to lose a close game because of a foolish missed field goal from inside the 40 or even 45. You can't have that, right? So I think, you know, that's something that they're going to definitely have to consider, and especially looking at all of the close games that they won last year. Now, imagine if that wasn't Goskowski out there to make those 50-plus yard field goals to win the game for them. You know, we'll be having a whole different conversation, and they wouldn't be the AFC South Division champions. You know, so I think that's really something to focus on, and it's kind of a battle that's floating under the radar, but it's starting to rise to the top because that kicking spot, you can't hide that. You know, you could hide an offensive lineman by, you know, sliding protection to a side and helping them and those type of things. But for a kicker, it's either you're going to make it or you're not going to.
Yeah, I mean, Goskowski's probably like, yeah, call me when it's like 82 out, you know. But but no, I agree. I mean, it's critically important. And, man, it's just you just don't want to see those 3-for-5 days out there. So, TD, exactly. you mentioned earlier, and I agree with you on Tart. I think Murchison looks like he's really had a good offseason. Of course, both those guys are offseason winners, too, and you can see it.
Right, right.
But like you said, you can't tell a ton in the trenches, but what do you think right now about offensive tackle? Of course, Lawan is not going to be doing much team or anything, but we're seeing Lamb move around. We're seeing Questenberry get a lot of reps. Sombrilo's waiting to come back. Ray Duns. What do you think about that position right now?
Well, I mean, if it was based on the ability to talk, I think Kendall Lamb would be an all pro.
Oh,
right?
Man.
That
oh.
guy, he's a wild dude, some of the things he says. But I think I'm leaning more towards, just because they're moving Lamb around a little bit, I thought they would focus him more on right tackle and have that be the spot. But because they're moving him around a little bit, it kind of makes me get the feeling that they're looking at him as a reserve, you know. And I think the spot is wide open for Dylan Raiden to win if he could, you know, continue to ascend the way he has since OTA's rookie minicamp. So it's, in my opinion, wide open. I thought, like I said, they would open the season and work towards opening the season with Kendall Lamb at right tackle. But it doesn't seem that way.
TD, what do you think of the bottom part of this receiving room? Because we were talking about this earlier this week. It's pretty amazing how this position has turned into what seems like a pretty massive strength for this Titans team. And there are going to be a couple guys that don't make this roster who are probably absolutely NFL-quality receivers. What do you think of that battle? How many receivers would you keep if you're the Titans? And how do you see that shaking out early into training camp? What have you noticed from some of those guys at the bottom of the receiving room?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think when you look at a guy like Marcus Johnson, he's so consistent, right? The ball comes his way. It's a completion 9 times out of 10. I mean, that's what I've seen. And I could go back to, you know, 2017 with the Eagles, you know, watching Marcus Johnson. But he's a guy, he had 2 catches for touchdowns yesterday. He told me that he's feeling more and more confident each day he works in this system, and you see that confidence coming from Ryan Tannehill as far as just being confident that he's going to catch the football because he's targeting him a lot. So that's a guy. Then you got Mason Kinsey. I mean, Russell, you've seen it, man. The low red zone one-on-ones, that dude is shifty. So he's definitely winning and showing his thing, and he gives you an option in the return game as well, punt returns. So that's someone to consider. Chester Rogers has emerged. Ryan Tannehill has hit him, and I'm talking about like some tight window throws, fitting it in between defenders, and he's just catching the ball. And a lot of, you know, you're seeing him work with A.J. Brown a bit, just in kind of like combo routes, and he got open yesterday for one of those. So he's someone to consider. Racy McMath, I mentioned Breon Borders earlier. Well, Mike Vrabel at the end of one-on-ones, Racy, Breon, let's go. And they had a rep, you know, to end it. So he's obviously caught Coach Vrabel's eye and the rest of the coaching staff. So those are guys. Westbrook Ekwonu, you know, I've joked a lot about him having a physical altercation with the football, you know, when he goes to catch it last year. That's not the case anymore, right? And I asked him about that specifically because I'm like, yo, if I'm going to criticize the guy, I need to gain understanding for why it was like that. And he told me it was a bit of nervousness last year, and he's done a lot of ball drills and those type of things. So you're seeing that come, right? You're seeing him catch the football more confidently. His routes, you know, despite being, you know, 6'2", 6'3", in that ballpark and with long legs, he's running good routes. So it's kind of like a battle between McMath and Westbrook Ekwonu. They're almost like the same dude because they're both guys that you're going to have as gunners on the punt team, and they're back of the rotation receiver-wise. So that's going to be a tough one. Cam Batson has had, you know, some good days. So there's a lot of guys in there. Freddie Brown, you know, you see him make plays occasionally. I think they keep seven, and the seven that I have them keeping is obviously, you know, Brown and Jones, Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds, Des Fitzpatrick, I think is solidified as the four. Then after that, right, you got a bunch of guys competing for three, maybe two spots, right? And the three that I have them keeping Westbrook Ekwonu and Racy McMath. And I got Cam Batson sneaking onto the roster, but that's going to be close because Cam Batson, you know, Chester Rogers and Mason Kinsey, these are kind of three of the same in that they're returners. They give you slot work as well as, you know, like they're I call that crew, I call them the Smurfs. You know what I mean? One of the Smurfs is going to have to be on the roster because you can't have all big receivers, you know what I mean? And you need somebody to help out in the return game.
And last year it was like Smurf Land.
Yeah.
And now you're flipping it around. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Well, I want to take that to tight end then, TD. What do you think right now? I feel like Pinckney has had some opportunities, got to catch the ball better. Yep. Briley Moore, you can see the reps he's getting, you know, what they exactly think of him. But what do you think about that spot right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, Tommy Hudson is also a factor, right? And that's one of those positions, okay, if they keep four, they'll probably keep six receivers, right? You know, but if they keep seven, they'll probably keep three tight ends. So for me, obviously, Ferkser, we had a Ferkser sighting yesterday, right? He had a nice play.
That was a big-time play.
Nice catch there in traffic. And then, of course, Jeff Swain. But then it gets into, okay, is Tommy Hudson and Jeff Swain, are they two of the same? You know, and then you got Briley Moore. For me, in my roster projection, I have Briley Moore as the third tight end. And the reason being is he's a guy that could fill that H-back role. You look at a lot of the runs that they've had. You know, they used to bring Jonnu Smith across the formation, right? And he would seal that edge, and they'll run that stretch to that side. Well, Michael Pruitt was also used that way. They don't have anybody that has consistently done that. You know what I'm saying? So Briley Moore did that at Kansas State, and he's an athletic guy, and you're seeing him, as you mentioned, getting quality reps. So I think that's something that's going to factor in. And for me, he's the third tight end.
Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, great stuff as always, my man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. I'll take it easy. Rex, I'll see you in a little bit.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
Going to be a hot one out there today for day three of Titans training camp. TD out there as always. Rex Road will be out there today as well. And our Titans training camp report from TD, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the All Things Basemently Company, the Trenches Shop in North Nashville, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's newest barbershop on wheels. You have control of the time and place. Book your appointment at thecuttruckmobile.org. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Get your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including an observation from Joe Rexrode to the quarterback position as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road trying to keep his cool while the U.S. women's soccer game continues on, still tied at 2 in the 106th minute. So they're in extra time at the Olympics that's going on live between the Netherlands and the U.S. women's soccer team, tied at 2. A great game so far. It looked like Netherlands took the lead, but they were offside. So they remain tied and in extra time at the Olympics. Discussing Titans training camp, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad has been out at Titans training camp the first couple of days. Day 3 coming up later this morning. It's a hot one out there, and that was brought up yesterday by the media as well. Titans coach Mike Vrabel saying it's probably hot everywhere this time of year, which I guess he's right about on that front. It was a little extra hot yesterday, though. I'm glad they got out there early, because yesterday about 1 o'clock, it was pretty warm yesterday around here.
Bet you it wasn't this hot, you know, for those soft New England Patriots in the early 2000s up in nice, cool New England.
Well, I can tell you the one place it definitely was not as hot as it was yesterday, Green Bay, Wisconsin. It was 79 the other day when Aaron Rodgers was out there.
Works out great this time of year.
It does.
Not so much in December.
When it's snowing in second week of October, a little bit different.
Then you get to the wintertime, and you certainly can't have any football games outdoors, right, Bob Zombie?
Couldn't have that on that front. Joe, there is one position, and there's several we're going to get to here this hour, talking Titans all hour long. But one position I think of interest to me, that you've seen some separation the first couple of days, and that is at backup quarterback. What have you seen out of Logan Woodside and DeShone Kizer through the first couple of days of action here at Titans training camp at the backup quarterback position? Again, a position where Titans fans hope it doesn't matter all that much, but ultimately could end up being very important if Tannehill misses any time.
Before I answer that, let me just say, this has been very difficult, okay?
I told people it was a struggle for Joe Rexroad.
I mean, like,
stay locked in.
It was my turn to ask TD a question. I'm like, oh my gosh! I mean, this game is out of hand. Netherlands, U.S. Women's National Team, second extra time. So we're about to be – my called shot may be about to take place. Crazy game going on NBC Sports Network. As far as the quarterbacks, right now, Logan Woodside has just been a lot better than DeShone Kizer, and the reps shifted to Kizer yesterday, which I read as, oh, by the way, okay, is the game over?
I don't know what you read as what you stopped mid-sentence.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get fired before the end of the show here. I read as DeShone's got to work his way out of some of this stuff.
Yep.
He's struggling. So it'll be interesting to see today how that works, because like when Logan Woodside did take reps.
Are you going to be able to finish a sentence here? My goodness.
Michelle distracted me. That was Michelle. She's like, put her hands up in there.
I'm watching the game over here, and we scored.
It was offside. Doesn't count.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. All right. So it'll be interesting today. It'll be interesting today to see a lot of things, including whether I can finish a sentence the rest of the day. But I would expect to see Kizer probably get more rest because, I mean, really, like Woodside got in yesterday and was really good. He's been around, knows the offense, playing with confidence. Kizer right now is, I used the word earlier, ponderous.
That's a great word.
Ponderous is very rarely a good thing in sports. He is just not seeing things quickly enough, and then he's waiting, and then even then at times, you know, sometimes, hey, you throw the ball in the back of the end zone, move on, you know, he's forcing some passes. Matias Farley, the other Farley, who plays in the defensive backfield, victimized him yesterday with a really nice pick, but it was more than a good pick. And by the way, Farley is one of those guys to watch in terms of the bottom of the roster, but it was more than a good play. It was a bad decision and throw.
And, you know, it's interesting. We talk so much about Kizer and Woodside and that battle at backup quarterback, and you're called shot. Kizer hangs around. He's going to hang around on the roster. Woodside finds his way on the practice squad through waivers, but important days early on in camp, too. I mean, look, and you know, they were talking about this the other day. I think Vrabel brought this up. A lot of this is going to be, you know, preseason games, right? Like live action and the reps that you get on that front. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that battle plays out. But it does kind of feel like, and you've brought this up before, that we just continually look past Logan Woodside and we doubt Logan Woodside. And all of a sudden, Logan Woodside's the last one standing and he's hanging around and he's the backup quarterback. And apparently off to a pretty good start so far in training camp for Logan Woodside.
No one could dispute this who has watched him since he's been around. He's gotten so much better. And credit to him. Like you said, he's hung in there and he's developed. And like right now at this moment, if the Titans had a game and Tannehill couldn't play, you know, Logan Woodside is the choice. Hands down. Yep. Easily the choice. That called shot, it's not nearly what like last week's called shot was, which was, you know, the playoff or the Texas Oklahoma not happening. That I knew that was very unlikely, but hey, that's what a called shot is supposed to be. I don't know how much I believe it, but I do still think that Kaiser has a lot to offer. I think they like a lot about him, and that's why they're giving him these opportunities to work his way out of it. And because, look, any position. You talked earlier in the show, Robbie, about kicker and how mental it is. But, I mean, you can find that in any position in any sport. And right now, you know, he's got to rediscover his confidence a little bit. But, again, it's very early, too. I would just say that today you don't want a third straight day of being clearly, you know, outplayed by your competitor at a position.
At Bengals Sheriff on Periscope says we need more live game reactions from Joe Rexroad.
Oh, if you're watching, man. I mean, and by the way, it looked like the United States scored, and again they were offside. Again. Yeah,
is that the most difficult rule in sports to figure out? Like soccer people are going to yell at me right now, but like it's not that hard. But I feel like it's difficult to track. Offsides in soccer, like in hockey, there's a line, there's a blue line, there it is. You're either offside or you're not. It's a moving target in soccer.
It's very. I don't get it. I mean, I'm a soccer parent who's been in a lot, and I'm constantly like, "Wait, why? What?" Or wait, that wasn't offsides. Very difficult.
Very difficult to keep track of. It's now two goals scored by the U.S. women's soccer team that have been called back for offside. So. See what happens.
Porth is hate texting me to stay focused.
On that front, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Get into the kicking battle. TD brought it up. How concerned are we at this point about what's taking place with the kickers so far in training camp? We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tonight, the Sounds take on Columbus, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. Pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:50, and first pitch is at 7:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Sounds taking on Columbus over the weekend as well. First pitch Saturday at 7:05 on ESPN 94.9, and first pitch at 6:15 on Sunday on 102.5 The Game as well. So lots of action coming up this weekend for the Nashville Sounds. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in, the backup quarterback position competition should be a lot easier for the quarterbacks because they actually have good receivers to throw to, unlike years of having receivers from college to throw to. These receivers got experience and can play. So it should be easier to lock down the quarterback that you want if you're the Titans. Do you buy into that the receiving room for the Titans this year, even at the bottom, maybe a little bit better for the quarterbacks in this competition?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of it from that angle, but that there's definitely lots of depth, talent, experience, and some young guys too, of course. You know, some of the top receivers in the pecking order are, fourth round pick, sixth round pick. You know, I think both of those guys right now are making the team, but they've been impressive. So, and especially McMath early in this camp. So that's a good point. You got better, a little bit better, talent on the other end. So, maybe a little bit better evaluation of the quarterback. But whether they're, you know, whoever is out there running routes, you know, the quarterback is ultimately in control of what happens with the football, including, again, sometimes just throwing it away, just not forcing something. I think Vrabel's a, just like any coach, but Vrabel is a very, he's very anti-turnover, you know?
Yes.
Probably more so than some coaches, because he's a defensive guy, so he knows what that does to a defense if you give the other team an extra possession. But you just, there's just no need to force some things, and Kizer has done that a little bit in the first couple of days.
So we brought this up with TD, and we talked about it earlier in the show, but it was not a good day yesterday for the kickers, Blake Hallbill and Tucker McCann as well, both going 3 of 5 yesterday in the team period. And, you know, they both played well, kicked well to begin training camp a couple days ago. So it's one day. You don't want to overreact to anything. But I think part of the story here of what the Titans need to find is consistency, right? And I realize the positions are different and the jobs are different. But, I mean, you pretty much know if you're Mike Vrabel and the Titans, you know what Brett Kern's going to give you, right? Like, he's going to be the same every day. He's going to be consistent in his performance. And again, it's not the same thing, not the same position, but you need more consistency out of that position at kicker, and they've not really gotten that the last couple of years. How concerned would you be right now if you're Mike Vrabel and the Titans over what we saw yesterday, both kickers going 3 for 5, and as TD pointed out, missing some short kicks along the way as well? How concerning would that be? And then I guess if it continues to be that way, where one day the kickers look great, another day pretty shaky, how long do you put up with that if you're the Titans before you have to look elsewhere and start to bring in a veteran guy, whether that's Gostkowski or anybody else?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. I will say with Blake Hallbill, it's interesting because he was hurt last year at Ohio State. You know, he was battling through some stuff, and he was not able to participate in the spring. So it is a very short period of time here that he's being evaluated. You know, he could be a story where he comes out shaky, doesn't work out, gets cut, gets totally healthy and confident, and is a 10-year kicker for someone else. Like, you don't want to miss out on someone who you haven't seen a ton, who's coming in as a rookie and has had an injury. So, you know, you've got to keep that in mind. And I'm sure the Titans are keeping that in mind. But I will say that after yesterday, the bottom line is, can you make the kicks or not? He's healthy now. He's out there. There's a ton of pressure on today. And the Titans need to see 5 for 5 for both of these guys today.
Yeah.
And, I mean, whatever all else happens out on the field today, when everything stops and they get into that period where they're moving, you know, the line of scrimmage and they're doing the field goal, I mean, that's when everyone who's there on the fringes is going to stop and be quiet and watch. And so, like, the pressure is going to be high. It's a little different, of course. There's no fans this year. But I almost, in a way, it almost, because it's so quiet, it's almost like it's like a golf match when they get to that stuff. No one, you know what I mean? No one's really yelling or anything. Everybody, the whole team is watching and seeing. Like, is one of these guys good enough to be our kicker this year? This could be two, three, four outcomes of games decided because you do or don't have a good kicker.
Yeah.
But today's big. But it is, especially with Hallbill, just because they've had McCann around. They obviously like him enough for him to still be around now. But they've got a pretty good feel for what he is. And if in these moments he can't be consistent, I think you just have to at some point say, look, if you can't handle that pressure, how are you going to handle the bigger pressure of being on a roster and being our kicker? Hallbill, you got to think that there's a, you know, you don't want to be too fast in moving on from a kid who has had the path here that he's had.
Well, I think the other thing is, you know, I think people are just assuming that Gostkowski is going to show up here in the next couple of weeks and he's going to be the kicker. And look, maybe he will. Like, maybe that's how this is going to work out. I do think maybe in a perfect world, though, if you're the Titans, having one of these two win the job and feeling confident that maybe you found your kicker of the present and the future moving forward is a big deal. Like, you know, I know if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, you're concerned about the here and the now and this year, and I get all that. But you also don't want to keep doing this every year where you have to just have a kicking competition every camp. Like, you need to find a kicker that could be around for a long time. So that's not Steven Goskowski. Goskowski, if he's coming back, it's not going to be a long-term answer, which is fine. He can help you this year. But at some point, you're going to have to find a kicker that's around for a while. And I think in a perfect world, the Titans would like one of these two to take the job. Now, the other side of that is you can't just force it. Like, if they're not ready and they're not good enough, you can't just throw them in there because they're young and hope they figure it out. With this team, the window they're in, there are going to be some close games along the way. You've got to have a guy in there that can make some big kicks for you. And, you know, as much as Goskowski struggled last year, especially inside 50, which was really weird, I will say a lot of times when the moment mattered and you needed to have a big kick, he delivered. And he delivered in a big way for this team. So there's value to that. I still think that's probably the most likely outcome as we go through training camp here. But at some point, if you're the Titans, you got to find a long-term answer at kicker.
So are you rescinding all the times you fired Goskowski?
I fired him one time.
Is it just one time?
I fired him one time.
All right. Okay.
And
can you take it back?
I will say, right after I fired him last year, started to kick pretty well.
He did. So is
that a coincidence? You tell me.
I don't know. You may be onto something there. You know, Vrabel, for as much as, again, like any coach, can't stand all the you guys are going to be great this year. What are the expectations? What do you think about respect around the league? Stuff like that. One thing he probably likes is the discussion around town. Any amount of pressure you can put on these guys right now.
Yeah.
He'll take it, right? Because that's what you're trying to find out, is how you respond to those moments. Today is a big moment in that regard. But, yeah, you're totally right. I think if Ryan Succop, if that went a different way, he'd just be over there just making his kicks, and people would barely notice. Like, we would notice, because I remember camp, you know, Succop be out there. They do the periods, and he probably, I don't know, I'm sure he missed some. But you'd only even notice if he had, like, a terrible day. Right,
exactly.
Yeah. That's the only way you would even pay it. Like, wow, what's going on with Succop? But other than that, it's like you barely even notice those periods. It's just like the punting period, which is the most ignored period, you know, in a football practice. And now it's like the period. But, hey, again, if you're Vrabel, you take that right now. Like, talk about it. Everybody stop. You know, put as much pressure on these guys as possible, because we got to know as fast as we can if we need to move on and look around.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texting in, the three things that killed this team in the last 2 years, defense, field goals, and injuries. Now, we can't control the injuries, but defense and kickers should have been number one priorities for the start of this season. Stop being so cheap. Spend the money. This is as close as we're going to get for a while. Take advantage of it. Now, the question I would have is, all right, well, who's out there that you're spending money on for a kicker, right? And how much money is a kicker making?
Yeah, it's not like there's some kicker out there like, well, he just can't afford that guy.
Right.
I mean, Goskowski is probably your best option.
And probably.
He lives here. But I will argue at that point, it should have cost him. But when has kicking – it cost him with the potential tying field goal that Goskowski missed. That's a field goal he's got to make.
Pittsburgh.
Against Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Other than that, I mean, they somehow – it just didn't matter.
That's they've actually dodged a bullet on this. Like, at some point, if it keeps going this way, it's going to cost them. But it has not, really, to this point.
And again, and that's what's weird about it, too. Dodge a bullet, yes. But then also, yeah, like against Minnesota, like Goskowski just rises up, and they don't win that game if you don't have extraordinary kicking in that game. So it's been mixed bag. But, yeah, overall, you're right. When you have this kind of uncertainty and shuffling at that position, it should have cost you more than it has so far. At some point, it will.
Team USA in penalty kicks at the moment, the penalty shootouts.
And I think I'm holding together pretty well talking to you.
I think you are too.
But it's the good thing about us being on the wide angle now is that now the TV behind you is on, so I'm looking through you to the TV.
I appreciate that.
This is big. Wow.
And now two goals in a row for USA in penalty kicks, up 2-1 in the PKs.
Titans could sign Alex Morgan as
their
kicker.
Alex Morgan could be the kicker.
Alex Morgan, lefty kicker.
Yeah.
Boy, that was nice.
Coming at it from a little bit of a different angle there. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line. Got a lot of those thoughts to get to at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch. It's kind of a shame. If we had came back like a minute earlier,
oh man,
we could have seen Joe Rexroad's live reaction to Team USA taking down the Netherlands in penalty kicks.
Called shot.
4-2.
Ding, 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 ding. And was that you, Michelle? You said who? Like, you asked me to name the one, and you said Rapinoe? And I was like, maybe. But that's
Rapinoe.
I just said Rapinoe.
You did. Skiatika.
Megan Rapinoe's the goat.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Titans should sign
Skiatika. Him. Skiatika.
Yes.
Does Rapinoe have Skiatika? This is my question. I mean, she's only been, you know, a big
12-year
national story for, you know, going back to the 2000s. But, yeah, Rapinoe.
Oh, that was amazing.
Okay. Time to stop the show. Good night, everybody.
Time to stop.
But anyway. Rapinoe won it, and I think you did. You were the one who mentioned that, right?
Yeah, I called her.
Yes.
Four for four in penalty kicks for Team USA.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a pretty big goal.
When you watch it, you feel like you should score every time on those, right?
You do. Now, you talk about pressure. That can get to some people. I've seen some penalty kicks where they miss the net entirely.
Well, yeah, there's
which,
that.
There's pressure.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah. But just the fact that the goalie has to commit.
Yeah.
You know, I understand you can, and you have pointed out, other people have said this too, you know, down the middle.
Just kick it down
would
the middle.
Would it work? I say maybe you could still make a kick save if you're leaning one way or the other, but
that would be my
no
strategy.
One ever does that.
I would just rip one right down the middle. See how it goes.
It's worth a try.
Yeah. I mean, I've
would
seen
you
it work
do that
lot.
If an entire country was counting on you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I would.
Joe the goalie, Robbie's kicking.
Yeah, no, we'd be in some serious trouble.
I'd do that.
Let's see what happens.
I'm a goalie dad.
Yeah.
Not a goalie.
Look, if any situation ever comes down to my ability to kick a soccer ball, probably in pretty bad shape. That would be like Chase McCabe's ability to hit a fastball. Just not going well.
Or a changeup.
Or
slow pitch softball.
Screwball. Anything. Love you, Chase. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Logan texting in from Clarksville. Logan Woodside, I trust more since he's been around a few years and has been developing. When Tannehill is done, I'd like to see him get a crack at being a starter. Maybe he's the next franchise QB. What do you think about Logan Woodside hanging around until Tannehill's done, being the next franchise guy?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Underestimate Logan Woodside at your own peril.
Well, I'm not saying impossible. I'm not – look, Logan Woodside's improvement from there to here, very impressive. I don't think Logan Woodside is going to be a franchise starting quarterback in the NFL.
Also,
it's very, very difficult to be in the NFL at all, to be a number two quarterback in the NFL at all. There's a lot to be proud of there, and there's a very tiny group of people who can be franchise quarterbacks.
Well, also, I mean, when's Tannehill going to be done? He's 33. He could play till he's – 36, 37, 38, 40. When's it going to be done?
At this point, the 40-plus quarterbacks club keeps growing. So, yeah, who knows? Right now, he does not look like an aging quarterback.
Josh texting in regarding to you and I on the penalty kicks. I think Robbie would be zigging while Joe is zagging, and the ball would end up in the stands. Be fun to watch, though. It's probably pretty accurate.
I just stand there and just hope you airmail one. You know?
Seth texting in, don't forget 2019 on the kicking disaster front. Oh, we don't forget. It was quite the adventure for the Titans in 2019.
But that's the point we were bringing up is it like what 44%. I mean, it was one of the worst performances
in NFL history.
In NFL history for a team at that position.
Yeah,
and of course it was a team that had to make an incredible run just to get in the playoffs, but even early, so they started 2-4. I don't remember. Maybe I'm – well, no. That is wrong. I'm wrong. It did cost them in that season, obviously, the Buffalo game. You're
yes.
talking about four misses. And, of course, it's amazing, too. You think of some of the guys they had coming through, like Cairo Santos was just terrible here, and then he's just great elsewhere. But that did cost them. So I guess in theory you could say it cost them. The thing is, though, of course – their entire path ended up being through New England, through, I guess, the Tom Brady. Was that his only loss of his career, the only time he played poorly?
I guess so.
But it worked out for them to get to the – so you can't say it really cost them. it did cost them that game. And it was a constant talking point all year, right?
Well, I mean, it got to the point where Titans fans were like, yeah, just go for it on fourth down. Then we kick and field goals. Just go.
That's what someone just said on Twitter. Just go for two. You'll probably end up better off. That's the thing. You can't let that cost you this year. Gostkowski overall was an important signing last year. Wasn't as good as you hoped. Right now, I think he's the glaring, huge, flashing neon lights answer. Best answer available that I know of.
And it goes back to, and obviously hindsight is 20/20, but I mean, how much do you think they regret letting Ryan Succop walk out the door? I mean, we're not having this conversation. He was great last year for Tampa Bay, and I think it's pretty obvious at this point. Succop tried to come back from an injury too early, and that cost him with the Titans, and I guess the Titans felt like he was done at that point, but he's not done. Looked pretty good last year.
No, I mean, that whole thing is just, it's really a bad outcome for this team that, I guess it came back too early, but then just the decision to cut him, you know, it's still.
But he's exactly what we're talking about, right? Like, we're not paying attention to Ryan Succop in training camp because you know what he is in the regular season. Like, you're probably not out there. Like maybe like Jim Wyatt is, but most people are probably not out there charting kicks with Ryan Succop in training games. Just like, it is what it is. There's Succop kicking. Now it's a big story.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, it makes it more interesting. It's like Kendall Lamb. I don't know how much he's going to play this year or whatever.
Big fan.
Makes camp more interesting.
That's right.
For anybody who hasn't. I looked at Jimmy Wyatt, by the way. You know,
tweeted it out.
Tweeted out what he said. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Cutting edge right there.
It was. So TD brought this up, and you brought it up earlier in the show as well. This has not come as a big surprise, I don't think, but A.J. Brown has looked pretty explosive the first couple of days of training camp so far. Looks healthy, as TD pointed out, quicker, more explosive coming up off the line. What do you think, I guess let's just start with this. What have been your impressions so far of A.J. Brown, and even compared to A.J. Brown's standard that he set so far for the first couple of years? Is he standing out even more, in your opinion, than he normally does?
I feel better about my T-O comparison after T-D.
Yes.
Didn't completely laugh at me when I said it. I mean, that's what I think when I watch him right now. It's just he's so hard to bump, so hard to tackle, to move, and then the speed, the quickness, the feet, the routes, catches everything. Looks great. He's primed for a big year, and he's never had Julio Jones with him. So he looks really good. It is interesting, you know, seeing how much he's playing right now while Julio Jones does not play. And I do wonder if that will change. We're not going to see much of anyone in the preseason games, I don't expect. But I would think that more reps for Julio would make sense from the Tannehill chemistry perspective.
By the way, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN putting this out there. The Titans have made a move. A center, Spencer Pulley, signing with the Titans, adding some depth behind Ben Jones at the center position. So Spencer Pulley coming in for the Titans. I believe formerly of the Chargers is where he maybe last played.
That's interesting.
You know, Chargers and Giants as well.
That's interesting. Munyer had Munyer had at least one bad snap yesterday. Munyer is one of those guys. You have Brewer, you have Munyer. It's incredible sometimes, and I have no idea if that's what this is, but like sometimes it feels like someone makes one mistake and instantly a new player is there to take their
think
spot.
Think about like Bo Brinkley.
Right.
Like he just didn't notice him for like 5 years because every snap's on the money. And then he has like a couple of bad snaps, he's out. He's just gone.
I mean, he had been their long snapper for a long time.
Yeah.
And a very good one. That's a good point. It does not take long. So I don't know if that's what this is, but obviously you see fumbled exchanges one day, and then the next day a new center's coming in.
Yeah.
What a business.
What a business indeed. Obviously, so getting back to, by the way, Spencer Pulley played at Vanderbilt too, so keep that in mind. So local boy coming back in to the Tennessee Titans. Real quickly as we wrap up this hour, lots of people, when you talk about A.J. Brown lighting things up so far at training camp, the natural response is, all right, What does that mean for the secondary? What does that mean for guys like Janoris Jenkins and Christian Fulton? Obviously, no Caleb Farley out there yet. You know, Breon Borders, TD mentioned, playing really well so far. But what does A.J. Brown lighting up really mean? Does it mean that he's really good and he's getting that much better, or is the Titans secondary this bad? Have you noticed that the secondary is struggling? What have been your thoughts so far, albeit 2 days into training camp with no pads?
I'd say the secondary is probably more good than bad right now. And listen, if A.J. Brown tears you up, you're expecting him to do that to everybody else too, aren't you? So if Cam Batson is shredding your secondary, you know, if Cody Hollister is tearing you up, then, you know, it's a little bit different. I don't look at anything that happens with spring football for a college team or preseason camp for a pro or college team. Anything good on one side? Well, what does that mean bad on the other side? That's natural. But A.J. Brown is expected to do this against everybody. And, again, like I think Janoris Jenkins, for example, has played well, has looked good. I think he's a nice addition. And he fell to the ground and looked up with a forlorn expression on his face as A.J. Brown torched him for a TD yesterday. I mean, but it was a great route. It was a perfect throw. It was also – this isn't just A.J. Brown. It's Tannehill and Brown and their chemistry, which is very good. So you're going to lose, man. But that doesn't mean Janoris Jenkins is a problem. As we move forward with that secondary, like again, I like what I'm seeing out of Elijah Molden. Want to see Christian Fulton making plays. So far, I think the safeties have looked good. Byard, Hooker, making plays. And then, Farley had the pick of Kaiser yesterday. Again, he's one of those guys that I have outside the 53 right now, but I think is a guy to watch. And Breon Borders, as TD said earlier, I think Jared was talking about it yesterday, Breon Borders is all over the place making plays to the point that Vrabel is – he's like, McMath, Borders. Let's see this one. That may not have been the ultimate matchup people thought of in the DB, you know, the corner receiver drills, but that's what Vrabel called out, which kind of tells you how they're playing so far.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans and get into the battle at wide receiver. How deep could this team be at wide receiver? Is that now a huge strength, even at the bottom half of the room? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.